Well, hello and welcome to another edition of AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We're so pleased to welcome to the program today the Greenways Coordinator for the Neponset River Watershed Association. Andres Ripley is here in studio to tell us about the association, about its mission, its goals, its projects here in Quincy and across the watershed, and about himself too. So Andres, great to meet you.
Great to meet you as well. Thanks for having me today.
I appreciate the opportunity. We chatted, as I mentioned before, the show with your executive director, Ian Cook, a couple of years ago at the start of the pandemic, virtually, as the way the world is going now. but I thought it was important to let folks know a little bit about the association. It's actually been around for quite a while now, right?
Yeah, we've been around since, I think, 1967, actually, in various capacities. So, yeah.
What is the purpose of the Watershed Association?
So our mission is really to clean and protect the Neponset River as well as the surrounding tributaries and lands. And so the river itself is actually 30 miles long. The main landmarks I like to use to describe the river to people is that it actually starts behind Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, where the Patriots play, and travels all the way up through 14 different cities and towns before it exits into the Boston Harbor in between Dorchester and Quincy. So it's a pretty big geographic area.
And is it utilized for that entire 30-mile stretch, or is it accessible for that entire 30-mile stretch?
It's actually not fully accessible, and that's one of the things that we do try to focus a lot of our efforts on, is trying to, you know, increase access to the river and the surrounding bodies of water and land that are in the area. It has a very long history of industrial use, and for that reason, we have lots of dams that are no longer utilized but still exist in the river and other bodies of water. We have chain-link fences from back in the day when folks were really scared of the river, when it was full of pollutants and things like that. You know, a lot of towns and cities would actually put fences along the sides of the river to make sure people aren't going near it. And although the river's gotten a lot cleaner and can be used recreationally in a safe way nowadays, those fences still exist. So we're trying to, you know, break down both those physical fences, but also some of the mental barriers that people have regarding the river and what it can be used for nowadays.
So 1967, when the association was founded, so it was still an active industrial use in many parts of the river.
Yeah.
Was that the reason for the founding of the Watershed Association?
Yeah, it kind of was. And actually, one of the main reasons why it did come together is because there was a group of environmentalists kind of ahead of their time in 67, actually, who were pretty passionate about protecting Foul Meadow, which is this really big 8-mile-long wetland in the heart of the watershed that actually does a lot of great things for the city of Boston and for Quincy, because as the river's coming down from Foxborough, and I know it sounds weird, it's coming down from Foxborough to Boston, heading kind of to the northeast, Foul Meadow basically just absorbs all of that water and really slows down the flow of the river. It cleans out the river naturally. And again, it really helps Boston and Quincy from, if we were going to have really big rainstorms, for example, it allows that water to, again, slow down and slowly come into Boston and Quincy.
Where is Foul Meadow?
Foul Meadow,
like
yes.
Like as in bird
like
life?
The birds, exactly, okay. Yes. So it actually starts in Sharon and kind of makes its way through Sharon, Canton, parts of Westwood and Norwood as well,
okay.
And basically ends right at Paul's Bridge, which is in between Hyde Park and Milton. So, yeah.
Is there a way for folks to kind of see the Neponset River to kind of, you know, on a map or virtually or online to actually, you know, check it out and see what it actually is?
Yeah, we do have maps and we have images on our website, of course, at neponset.org. And even there, you'll also see, you know, the trail systems that we have that run through Foul Meadow and other places in the watershed. You'll see canoe access points. We have plenty of canoe launches where folks can put canoes or kayaks in and paddle in either direction. Also giving warning on those maps as to where the dams are, because of course you don't want to get too close to the dams when you're canoeing, but yeah.
Okay. So tell me about the association itself. It's kind of its makeup, its government structure, if you will.
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit, again, been around for over 50 years now. We currently have, I want to say, 10 staff. About half of us are full-time, the other half are part-time, more or less. And we all have, you know, our different niches that we like to work in. We do a lot of work around habitat restoration, which can mean all kinds of things like implementing or rather removing some of the smaller dams that are, you know, an impediment to fish and other wildlife. We do a lot of work around water quality to make sure that the water is actually clean. We do a lot of work to try to clean the water up even more in some cases as well through our Neponset Stormwater Partnership, where we're working with towns and we're working with Quincy actually to help them reach their stormwater permitting requirements.
Okay.
And then in addition, we're also going to some of the schools, to educate fifth graders on stormwater pollution and water conservation and things like that. So those are just some of the main categories that we're working in.
Because you are an established nonprofit 501c3
yep.
corporation. Mm-hmm. So funding, how does funding happen for the association?
So funding actually comes from all kinds of different ways. We have some federal money that we get through funding. We have some private foundations that are also funding a lot of our efforts. And we also have a pretty big member base. So we have a lot of members donating to various causes that we're working on, mainly people who are actually living within the watershed or just outside of its boundaries who are also passionate about the work that we're doing.
So what is considered the Neponset River watershed? What is a watershed for that matter?
Yeah, it's an interesting word that a lot of people who've never heard it before are probably like, what is a watershed?
Right.
And basically it's a geographic area of land where all the water is draining to one central point in that area.
Okay.
So it really has a lot to do with the topography of the boundary line, right? So you can be just inside the Neponset watershed in some cases, like if you're in maybe parts of Westward or Dover or Dedham, for example, but you can take a couple steps and actually be in the Charles River watershed or the Taunton River watershed. So again, it really has to do with topography, and it's all the bodies of water and the rain that come down in that area, all draining to one central point, which in our case is into the Boston Harbor in between Dorchester and Quincy.
Okay, so essentially it's how it gets its water.
Yeah.
Is the watershed.
Exactly.
The water sheds from those regions into the river.
Exactly.
Okay. Are there still industrial uses along the Neponset River?
There are some. Yeah. It's actually predominantly in Walpole. There are still some dams that are being utilized for some of the factories that are over there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, there aren't a ton of industrial uses anymore. There are still some, again, the older dams we have, specifically on the main stem, the actual Neponset River itself, we have the T&H Dam in Hyde Park and the Baker Chocolate Dam down in Dorchester and Lower Mills, which people tend to see a lot.
Sure.
Those two, again, are kind of the big dams that had a lot of industrial use back in the day but are no longer being used and are currently just some of the impediments that don't allow some of the fish species who thousands and thousands of years ago, or rather hundreds of years ago, but were doing it for thousands and thousands of years, were actually migrating up the river from the Atlantic Ocean and spawning, and they haven't been able to do that because of the dams. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is get some of those dams removed so that way the fish can go back up and have all kinds of ecological benefits for the river by doing that.
Okay. Have you seen the effects of climate change on the Neponset River?
We have.
Really?
To kind of break it down even easier, one of the biggest sources of pollution we have in the Neponset River, and many urban rivers have, is stormwater pollution. Hmm. And stormwater is basically when you have all of the different pollutants on the streets, like gasoline, cigarettes, plastics, dog waste, all those things basically are just always sitting on the roads from everyday human use. And then when the rain comes down, it will mix in with those pollutants to create stormwater and then funnel through the storm drain systems that we have on the road directly into the nearest body of water. So of course, in our case, it's coming into the Neponset or other bodies of water. And one of the things that we're seeing with climate change is the fact that a lot of these storm drain systems weren't created with the mindset of what the rainstorms were going to look like in the future. And so you have a lot of storm drain systems that aren't really able to take on that much water, and we can have more flooding issues happening on the streets.
Right.
We can even have sewer pipes, which again, the sewers where human waste is going is different than these storm drain pipes, but they do kind of run under the street near each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have flooding issues with the sewer pipes because of how much rain we're getting, and some of that sewage can actually make its way into the storm drains and things like that. So
It
really has to do a lot with the infrastructure that we have that's not really ready to handle the climate changes that we're seeing.
Okay, as you're well aware, the latest announcement was that about 4 miles of the lower Neponset River was designated an EPA Superfund site.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
It's an amazing thing.
Really?
This section is between Mother Brook in the Dedham Hyde Park area and the Lower Mills Dam down in Dorchester. And it's a great thing because really for a very long time, as we talked about, there was a lot of industrial use along the river, specifically in this section. And part of the problem was back in the day, there weren't really a lot of laws that were prohibiting people or factories from dumping into the river. And so one of the main pollutants that we still see in the river, besides the E. coli and the other things from stormwater, is this chemical called PCBs, which I think is polychlorinated biphenyls. I might have said that incorrectly,
okay,
but we just call it PCBs. And basically, it's a man-made chemical that was used in factories for things like creating transformers or other electronics. And since it's man-made, when it gets into the environment, it's actually a very sturdy chemical that is really hard to naturally break down. So we actually still have a lot of those PCBs in the mud underneath the river in some of the areas, specifically in the 3.7 section 3.7-mile section of the river that is designated as a Superfund site. And so what's great about this now is that EPA and DEP, the Department of Ecological Protection, can now go in and do further testing into this area to figure out where the highest levels of PCBs are, figure out actually who's even responsible for putting them there in the first place, because PCBs, since, again, they're man-made, you can actually look at the chemical structure of them under a microscope and possibly link that back to a factory that used that specific PCB chemical back in the day. And so they're able to take enforcement on those companies if they're still around. They're able to also bring in some larger federal funding if they need to figure out how they're going to do the cleanup, whether that's taking all those PCBs and bringing them somewhere else to a waste site somewhere else in the country. If it's the capping them on site, there's all kinds of different processes that go into the Superfund. But it is a multi-year, possibly even multi-decade process, depending on how quickly they can be moving through this.
So the pollutants are not actually in the water, they're in the river bed?
Exactly. Okay. They're in the mud. It's sometimes they can kind of come up and be in the water column in the river itself, but there's not really a risk of canoeing in the river, for example, or even walking along its banks. Those things are perfectly fine to do. The thing that we always like to say is avoid the mud, right? Because that's where they are. Even the rocky areas in the river, where we have plenty of rocky sections of the river, the PCBs aren't in there as much because they really like to attach to the muddy sediment, specifically behind the two dams that I mentioned earlier that we have in Hyde Park and in Dorchester. Okay. So really, if you're not jumping in the mud all the time, you're perfectly fine from the PCBs.
Okay, but shouldn't they just be left alone then? If you're going to remove that, you're going to be putting them in the water, right?
That is a thought, but they do have, the EPA does have a way of kind of keeping it contained when they are removing it. And one of the biggest issues, or one of the biggest dangers to humans at least, is the fact that they're in the fish, because in a food chain system, of course, you're going to have the smallest fish in the mud, eating small little particles in the mud. They're going to get it into their fish tissue. It's going to move the way up the food chain with bigger fish eating the smaller fish. Mm-hmm. And we have people who do fish along the Neponset River.
Really?
And we want to continue to actually have more people fishing along the Neponset River. But in order to do that safely, we don't want people to fish and then eat the fish.
Okay.
Because if you're eating fish that have PCBs in them, there can be long-term health effects if you're eating enough of those fish. Hmm. And so we want to, of course, make sure that the river is safe for humans, by making sure that the fish don't have PCBs in them. But we also want to try to remove the mud so that way people can continue to recreate on the river in a safe way. People don't have to be worried about the chemicals that exist in the river. And that way the Neponset can be used by everyone on a more healthy scale.
Yeah. Who actually owns the river in the various communities, Andres? Is it those communities that own that section, like here in Quincy, for instance? You know, does the city own that portion of it, or how does that happen?
Yeah, predominantly along lots of the river, and specifically in the Superfund section, the Department of Conservation and Recreation actually owns the river and
so
its
the
banks.
State. Okay.
Yeah, so the state does. So I'll refer to them as DCR because it's just shorter. But yeah, they own most of it. They actually also own the two dams that I referred to in Hyde Park and in Dorchester. And so they're playing a huge role in the Superfund process and working closely with EPA and DEP, as well as us, to try to figure out what's the best course of action in all of this and how can we pursue properly.
Sure. So you're the Greenways Coordinator for the Neponset River Watershed Association. So what is a greenway?
Yeah. A greenway is basically a natural space that predominantly, at least in Boston and Quincy, exists a lot along the rivers that we have. We have the Neponset River Greenway Trail, for example, which is a roughly 10-mile trail that runs from Tenian Beach in Dorchester all the way down to Paul's Bridge in the Milton Hyde Park area. Mm. So it is running through Dorchester, Mattapan, Hyde Park, and Milton. And so as the Greenways Coordinator, I'm working to work with DCR, who also own the Greenway, as well as the community groups like the Neponset River Greenway Council, for example, and some of the other neighborhood groups, to try and enhance the Greenway. We're trying to extend it farther into Boston so that way folks can get on it near Castle Island and come all the way down the Neponset, all the way to the Blue Hills. Mm-hmm. Because where it ends right now near Paul's Bridge, roughly 3/4 of a mile away is Blue Hills, which is a major destination for a lot of folks. And so if we can extend it in both of those directions, it's going to allow a lot more folks to actually use the river and recreate along its banks in a safe way. On top of that, through my Greenways effort, we're also working with some of the other communities who don't have access to the river or don't have access to green space, natural space in their own communities, but have the potential to. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of fences that still exist. There's a lot of stone walls that still exist. And there's a lot of environmental justice communities who have not received funding like other communities have over the years from the state and from the cities. And so we're trying to work with them on a more intimate level to hear about their goals, what kind of green space access they want to see in their communities, and try to pursue that with them by working with the Department of Conservation and Recreation, by working with cities to, again, try to create trail systems, try to create more usable parks in a safe way where, again, people can just be recreating in the Neponset watershed in their own backyards.
Yeah. Specifically here in Quincy, are you involved with any efforts in the city itself?
Yeah, we are working in Quincy on a couple different efforts. One of the main efforts we try to work on is along the Quincy Riverwalk, which runs along Commander Shea Boulevard. A lot of people know Squantum Point in Quincy, which is a DCR-owned park. It's a beautiful trail that runs all along the Neponset River, all the way down into Milton. One of the problems that it does face, unfortunately, is that it does have some flooding issues, predominantly from rainwater, actually. Squantum Point back in the day used to be an airport, and so it was heavily disturbed, and even now it's kind of, the ground is very packed in. It's not a natural wetland there. And for that reason, when the rain comes down, even sometimes when we have some of the flooding coming from the ocean, the water doesn't drain into the ground naturally.
Okay.
And so one of the main sections of the trail has a pretty big, we call it a puddle, but it's about 100 feet long and can get up to 6 to 8 inches deep.
Wow.
That really block off a huge section of the trail. And so one of the things that we're trying to work on with the Department of Conservation and Recreation is creating some kind of boardwalk there that, again, would elevate the trail surface a little bit. It would allow folks to use that trail year-round and not have to worry about the flooding. One of the things that exists there now is a very informal platform, I like to call it, where it's people who love to use the trail put down cinder blocks and some 2x4s just to try to get over it every once in a while, but it's not the most safe.
Right.
Doesn't look great either, so we're trying to, you know, make it a more formal process and work with Quincy as well as the Department of Conservation and Recreation to create that boardwalk in the coming days, or coming year, actually.
Is bicycle access a consideration as well along the Neponset River?
Yeah, bicycles are welcome along the river. I think one of the things that we actually see a lot along the Greenway is a lot of bicycle use, which is great. One of the drawbacks that comes with a lot of bicycle use is that the trail gets referred to sometimes as the Neponset bike trail, which is okay, but the problem is a lot of folks don't bike who want to use this, and when they hear bike trail, they feel like that trail isn't for them, which is not the case. We see plenty of people also walking with their kids in strollers or walking their dogs or jump roping, rollerblading, just trying to get out in nature in their own communities. And so we're trying to break down that stigma that it's more than a bike trail.
Okay.
But again, to answer your question, we see lots of biking along the Neponset.
Is it wide enough for everybody to use at the same time?
Oh yeah, it's a 10-foot wide paved trail, multi-use trail. So there's plenty of space. With that being said, we also try to work on general trail etiquette. You know, you want to make sure you're staying to the side when someone's walking or biking next to you. You want to make sure that you're communicating with folks, that you're coming up behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if used properly, 10 feet wide is more than enough space for everyone to recreate along.
Okay. And here in Quincy, again, how is it accessible, Andres? You know, where can folks drive to in order to get out and walk, but that's what people are going to be doing. So how do you do that?
Yeah. So actually, one of the main connections to Quincy is along the Granite Ave Bridge. That connects from the Milton-Quincy area right across to Dorchester.
Oh,
and the trail is running right there near the Neponset Reservation Park. We actually work very closely with one of the bike groups in Quincy called Quincycles.
Sure.
Amazing group of people, very passionate about the trail and very passionate about biking. And they bike along the Greenway all the time. And so we're trying to, again, increase the use for everyone, not just the folks who live along the trail, but also in the surrounding communities of Quincy and Milton as well, who can, again, just come right across Granite Ave and come right onto the trail.
Okay. He's very passionate about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Watershed Association.
Yeah. So actually, after I graduated from college in 2018, I was the Environmental Science Fellow for 13 months, which is a rotating position that we have within the Watershed Association, which really gives young professionals an opportunity to learn about how a nonprofit works. It gives the young professional an opportunity to learn about volunteer management, running different water quality testing opportunities, organizing cleanups, learning about habitat restoration. So really a wide range of opportunities that someone gets in this job to, again, just learn about all the different opportunities in the environmental sector. And then after that 13 months was up, I didn't want to leave the Watershed Association because I was very passionate about the work, and it was really exciting for me to have the opportunity to continue in this role as the Greenways coordinator. So for the past few years, I've been working with these community groups, again, specifically in the environmental justice communities we have in the Boston area, to try to bring them closer to the river and break down the stigmas that come with the river.
Where did you go to school?
I actually went to Wheaton College in Norton. pretty close by. Yep. I grew up in Sharon and now live in Braintree, so kind of all been in the southeast to Boston, Massachusetts area my entire life.
Okay, and what was your area of study?
I actually studied biology. I focused actually a lot on animal behavior when I was in college and did a lot of research around animal behavior. Didn't necessarily see myself coming into this field, but as soon as I jumped into it, I became extremely passionate about it and love the people I get to work with, both within the Watershed Association, but also within the communities. Mm-hmm. They're great people who are also very passionate about this work, and it's always enjoyable to work with them.
Yeah. Are there outreach efforts in the schools in the Watershed Association area? Trying to educate young people?
Yeah. That's one of the biggest things we do is through the Neponset Stormwater Partnership, we have an agreement with the towns where, while we're helping them to meet their stormwater permitting requirements, we're also going into all the fifth grade classes across all the towns, teaching students, like I said, about stormwater and water conservation, which is, I haven't done it recently. I did it a couple years ago, and it is super fun to go into the schools and to hear the questions that fifth graders have about what water conservation is, about what, you know, how does water get to my house, or how does what's on the street get into the river? And to be quite honest, a lot of their thoughts and their questions are similar things to what adults think as well, because there hasn't been a lot of education in the school systems about water conservation and water pollution. That is slowly changing. But again, it's a lot of fun to see thousands and thousands of students every year and to educate them on what they can be doing to make the water in their own community a lot safer.
Yeah. Is the Neponset River a source of drinking water for any community?
The river itself is not, but we do have some of the smaller tributaries that have groundwater wells near them. We have a couple groundwater wells in Sharon. There's a few in Canton, Westwood. I want to say Nord and a few other towns I'm probably missing, but yeah, more towards the upper part of the watershed, you have groundwater wells where the well is going obviously into the ground, tapping up some of that groundwater that is connected to the bodies of water near it, and then filtering it out and using that for drinking water.
I don't think people are maybe aware of that. You know, they just think the water just comes out of the tap, it must be fine, right?
Exactly.
In this area, it's obvious from the Quabbin Reservoir.
But exactly.
As you say, there are smaller communities that have their own water districts.
Yeah.
And the Neponset River, would you say, is that the main river in our area? The biggest river in our area?
I would say it's the biggest river in our area. Yeah. The three rivers that come into the Boston Harbor are the Neponset River, the Charles River, and the Mystic River.
Yeah.
We're the most southern river out of the three.
Right.
That's the kind of closest one to us. But it does extend for a pretty long ways down into the Foxborough area, and all kinds of different things are happening along its stretch.
So what are the benefits of being a member of the Neponset River Watershed Association, Andres?
Yeah, well, one of the benefits, of course, is that you have the opportunity to give to an organization that's working really hard to try to make the environment a more healthy and safe place for everyone. Other benefits come to things like different events that are for our members. We have different guided tours, whether that's a canoe trip or a walking trip. There's different events like, for example, we have presentations that are predominantly for members. So there's all kinds of different opportunities that come with being a member that allow you to get more involved in the work we're doing and get to kind of see from our side what we're working on and why we're so passionate about it.
Yeah. Are there volunteer opportunities as well?
Lots of volunteer opportunities. Yeah. One of the biggest volunteer opportunities we have every year is we have two river cleanups every year, one in the spring and one in the fall.
Okay.
Those sites actually tend to be in the Quincy area as well as in Hyde Park, Mattapan, and Milton. We have our spring cleanup coming up, which is on Saturday, April 23rd, actually, so very soon.
Earth Day, right?
Yeah, basically Earth Day.
Okay.
From 9 to 12 p.m., we have sites in Quincy at Squanum Point, down at the Neponset Landing at the Boston Scientific site, all along Commander Shea Boulevard.
Yep.
I'll give you the link as well so folks can register online for
But
we always have a great group of folks coming out from Quincy and from all the different communities to try to give back. We usually see around 400 volunteers show up that day to about anywhere from 10 to 14 different sites spread across the watershed to, again, remove all kinds of trash that we can. I think over the past, I want to say 10 years it's been almost at this point, we've removed close to 100,000 tons of trash from the river itself, which ranges from all kinds of things like small bottle caps to nip bottles to tires to even full-on cars in some cases we've removed from the river, which is crazy to think about. Yeah, so again, the river has seen a huge improvement thanks to our volunteers and to a lot of our members who are donating to our efforts.
Sure. Are there fundraising events that happen for the group?
Yeah, we have our annual meeting comes up in, I think, June 8th is the goal for this year for that, where, again, folks can donate to the cause there. They can attend the meeting as well and come and hear from a guest speaker and hear about the work that we're doing. There's other fundraising opportunities that we do through just general mailings saying, mm-hmm. This is our goal for this year. We want to focus a lot on climate this year. By donating to the cause, you're going to help, contribute to X, Y, and Z that we're doing.
Okay. Or
contributing to our Greenways efforts by, donating and allowing us to focus more on these communities that we're working in, things like that.
Sure. Where is the association located? Does it have an actual physical headquarters?
We do. We actually have a physical headquarters in Canton.
Oh, okay.
It's on at 2173 Washington Street is our address. It's actually the big yellow house in the parking lot of the Ponkapog Golf Course is how I like to describe it to folks. So
okay.
Right along 138, pretty close to the highway. It actually is really nice because we're pretty central in the watershed. So,
yeah.
When we're going out to do field work or going to different locations, it's very easy to get to from our headquarters.
Yeah. Is it safe to swim in the Neponset River, Andres?
That's a great question. So there are some spaces that are safe to swim in the Neponset River. One of our goals is that we want the entire river to meet swimmable standards at all times throughout the year. Unfortunately, some places aren't meeting swimmable standards, and that predominantly has to do with how much bacteria we have mm-hmm. getting into the river through the stormwater system. So what we always tell folks is if you want to swim in the Neponset, first of all, go to our website to figure out where you can do that safely.
Right.
But a general rule of thumb is you don't want to be swimming until 72 hours after a rainstorm.
Okay.
Because again, those storm drain systems that are still pretty small and aren't really able to handle the big rainstorms we're getting, it takes time for all that water and pollutants to drain out of the storm drain system into the body of water and then flow downstream.
Yeah.
So it's usually smart to wait at least 72 hours before swimming in some of the bodies of water.
Okay. It's the same at Wollaston Beach, actually, and some of
yeah.
the city beaches as well.
It makes sense.
Because of the same reason as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
But there are no kind of there's no like lifeguards or designated swim areas, is that right?
There are a couple, on Lake Massapog, for example, in Sharon. They do have some nice beaches there where there are lifeguards.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple other ponds that I can't remember off the top of my head that do have lifeguards.
I didn't realize that would be part of the Neponset River.
Yeah, it's actually the biggest body of water in the Neponset River.
Really?
It's one of the headwaters. The two kind of headwater areas we like to refer to them as are Lake Massapog as well as the Neponset Reservoir in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we have large bodies of water at the more higher elevated sections of the watershed,
okay.
and water is leaving those and going through smaller streams to get into the Neponset River.
Oh, what about like Houghton's Pond and Ponkapog Pond in Milton?
Yep, Ponkapog is in it. I believe Houghton's Pond is also in it, or it could just be out of the watershed boundary. I always forget with Houghton's Pond.
Okay.
But Ponkapog is in the watershed as well, yes.
Okay.
Ponkapog Pond actually drains into Ponkapog Brook, which drains directly under 95 into the Neponset River, actually.
So I'm learning things myself, and I've lived in the area my whole life.
Okay,
very good.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to let folks know about right now?
I think that's probably most of it.
Yeah.
We have some upcoming projects where, we're trying to implement some ways to combat some of the stormwater issues. One of the things that we like to create are things like rain gardens or bioretention cells, which sound like a big fancy word, but basically it's a way to just capture some of the stormwater before it gets into the storm drain systems. So actually in Quincy, we're working with some of the schools to create some of these opportunities at the Montclair School, at the Beechwood Knoll, and Smug Harbor, I believe, are actually the three elementary schools that we're currently working at to try to implement these rain gardens, which again are going to be good to capture the stormwater before they get into the system, but also further educate the youth who are going to be seeing these rain gardens every day, understand what they are, what the purpose is, and how they benefit the environment.
Okay.
And then on top of that, we're trying to do some more work around getting a better understanding of the estuary. The estuary is kind of that brackish area where you have some fresh water coming down the river as well as some of the salt water from the ocean. That estuary is in Dorchester and in Quincy and in Milton. And so we're trying to get a better understanding of how it operates. We're looking into more restoration efforts and trying to get some more funding so we can do more work in the estuary to better prepare for climate change and some of the other issues that we see in the estuary.
We haven't talked at all about any of the wildlife that's along the Neponset River. What are some of the, I know there's a lot of bird life, certainly.
Tons of bird life, all kinds of life really that you can see. We have all kinds of birds, even in Fowl Meadow, which is actually designated as an area of critical environmental concern.
Mm.
You do have some species, both bird and reptile and amphibian that are in there that use that habitat to survive, and they are endangered species.
Okay.
On top of that, we do have some beavers in part of the watershed. We actually do have some otters in part of the watershed as well, which people are always surprised to hear, but it's very hard to see them, but you can see signs, and we do have some trail cams that we have actually seen a couple of them on. On top of that, we actually have bald eagles in the watershed, which is a surprise.
Yeah,
yeah, we have some that have been seen actually in Milton and in Quincy, and they kind of make their way up, and we also see some along Lake Massapog and Sharon. And on top of that, you have all your common fish, like largemouth bass, you have pickerel, you have trout in some cases. One of the biggest efforts that we do around trout is try to make their habitat as safe as possible, because they're kind of an indicator species where if you see trout in the area, that means the water is probably pretty cold because they need cold water to survive. And also means the water quality is pretty good. So we're trying to predominantly focus on some of these trout streams, like predominantly on Trap Hole Brook in the Norwood area. To try to improve their habitat through removing some of the dams, for example, trying to install more trees that are going to keep the water cooler with their shade. And so that's kind of one of the main species that we like to focus a lot of our efforts on, to keep the trout in the watershed, which is a pretty cool opportunity that we have.
Yeah, the canary in the coal mine, so to speak.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, very good. Is invasive vegetation, plant life, a problem anywhere along the river?
It is. We have a lot of invasives, like a lot of the different other bodies of water do in Massachusetts and in New England. We have things like Japanese knotweed. We have multiflora rose. We have this really interesting plant called Mile a Minute, which a lot of folks don't know about. And the reason why it's called Mile a Minute is because it grows super, super fast.
Okay.
And it's really hard to contain. And people drive by it all the time on roads, and they don't even realize it's there. So we're doing a lot of our efforts with the Department of Conservation and Recreation to figure out how can we try to contain some of these invasive plants to make sure that they're not spreading across the watershed and outside the watershed boundaries. Yeah. Not an easy thing to do, but we're trying our best.
Right. In terms of fishing, we should point out, is are permits necessary?
You do need a fishing license, unfortunately, to fish in a lot of the places, specifically on DCR property.
Okay.
They actually do have some days during the year, though, where it's like anyone can come fish. You should definitely go to DCR's website to learn more about those days.
Okay.
Usually it's at least one or two in the summertime where anyone can come on out and fish, and you don't need a license to do so. And actually, I don't think you need a license if you're under a certain age as well. So if parents want to go out with their kids and the kids want to fish, I think that's perfectly fine.
Sure. Yeah. And what about recreational boating? Is that allowed along the river?
That is allowed as well, yeah. That's one of the things that we try to encourage a lot.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, the river is kind of blocked off from a lot of the communities. And so we try to break down that stigma by talking about our canoe launches and giving people opportunities to canoe along the river, because we have plenty of boat launches that do have some signage and need some more improved signage. That's something else that we're trying to work on.
Okay.
But again, plenty of opportunities to boat, kayak, fish along the Neponset.
All right. Good information. Anything else right now?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay.
I'll just encourage folks to go to our website, neponset.org, to learn more. And feel free, you'll see out my contact information and my colleagues' contact information on there. Feel free to reach out with any questions about our efforts or membership or anything like that.
Okay. Social media as well, are you utilizing?
Yep. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the good stuff. I think it's NEPRWA, N-E-P-R-W-A, is a lot of what our social media handles are. But yeah.
All right. And phone number for folks, 781-575-0354.
Exactly.
That's your main headquarters.
You got it.
And the big yellow house.
Yep.
And Ponkapon Golf Course.
Exactly.
Ever get up there and golf afterwards?
We might have to. We might have to get out there and try.
Andres, really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and let folks know about the association and about how they might be able to get involved. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me today. It was great.
Very welcome. Thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you again next time.